distribution of tree canopy over the entire city is not really realistic. A more equitable distribution of that tree canopy is called for in both the Urban Forestry Management Plan and the Portland Plan. Over time, Title 11, the new title, the new tree planting requirements will help to bring deficient areas up to meet those canopy targets. One more thing to keep in mind is that population forecasts for Portland show that we'll have 50% more households in the year 2035. That population increase means more development, particularly infill. A lot of our tree canopy exists in infill situations right now, and so as we see more building happen, we can expect that we're going to lose some of our existing tree canopy over time. Some neighborhoods, Powhurst, Gilbert, and Hazelwood, for example, have existing tree canopy but are slated for extensive infill development, which will reduce that. With that, I'll pass it on to my colleague, Paul Scarlett.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. Paul Scarlett, Director for Bureau of Development Services. I'll share a few remarks. The existing regulations that's in place now is very inconsistent. It creates several challenges that are difficult to administer. The tree regulations creates problems for staff and customers alike. Examples of these challenges that creates operational challenges include, for example, several bureaus are involved in the regulations of trees, and you as a customer can call multiple bureaus to find out a simple question, the answer to a simple question such as, do I need a permit to cut a tree on my property? It may take several days to get an answer to that question. Another example is multiple bureaus have different codes, and this creates different requirements for regulating trees. So, for example, in a neighborhood, large trees could be cut down, and the mitigation requirements could be different for certain property owners, depending on where it is. The new tree code would create an equitable regulation that allows better consistency across the board. Another goal of the new tree regulation is that it would provide consistency across the various bureaus that regulate tree regulations, Bureau of Development Services, Parks Bureau, Bureau of Transportation, and BES, which all ultimately, in this case, would create a more efficient and enhanced customer service. The regulation that we have been working on for several years is aimed at accomplishing those very objectives and goals. And essentially, that's our presentation.
Thank you. So that when we did the presentation in December, following up on previous work done by Commissioner Fisher's office, the request to council was about $750,000. We have since gone back and seen what's the absolute minimum that we would need to be able to implement the code and have it down to about $400,000 in ongoing and $100,000 in one-time education and outreach money. Question?
Just a comment, if I could. Thank you for the presentation. I mean, we're now adopted the tree code in 2011, and a diverse set of stakeholders loudly supported our approach. And I realize that the difficult budget seasons have made it challenging to move forward, but I think that to kick the can down the road again really is a disservice to everyone who we engaged to do this process. Now, I understand that the controversial component of this is the regulation of trees on private property. And so what I would ask us to consider is, in addition to this proposal, some kind of phase-in, if necessary, that allows us to get moving on this, and maybe some combination of education and outreach to lay the groundwork. But I think to delay any further breaks faith with a very broad constituency that came together to adopt this. And if the sticking point is trees on private property, let's at least carve out a robust amount of money for education and transition and to move this thing forward. And not to do so, I think, runs the risk of, at some point, we may be de facto repealing the work that we did. And I think that's a mistake. I respect concerns people have raised about, you know, where the tree lands, if it's private property or not, and some of the regulatory burdens. But I would hope that the question for this budget cycle is not whether we're going to fund it, just what is the amount we're going to fund, and then if we are to phase it in, perhaps to debug some elements, and we want to postpone regulation of trees on private property, let's be clear about that and find the money to do the rest. But I think this is the budget where we need to put some money into this. So this is my two cents.
Any questions? Yeah, Paul, I just want some clarification in the existing law, and I apologize when I didn't look this up, but Meryl Reddish from Audubon came in to see me about this issue a few weeks ago. What she said is that the new code will only require mitigation if you cut down more than 4 12-inch trees on your property. I thought that it was any tree more than 12 inches. Is Meryl correct that it's only if you cut down more than 4 trees?
I haven't looked at the regulations to know the specifics of that. It is a new proposal, so I'd have to rely on staff.
We have staff here. Well,
thank you. I'm Mika Keenan, the program coordinator for tree code implementation. And mitigation is required up to inch per inch for trees 20 inches in diameter or greater. If trees between 12 and 20, if 4 or more trees between 12 and 20 inches are removed, then mitigation increases. But the threshold is really 20 inches.
Okay, so for specifically trees between 12 and 20 inches, Meryl is right. You can cut down 4 12 to 20 inch trees without mitigation.
Tree for tree replacement is required. So the mitigation threshold changes. So typically, if a tree is removed, tree replacement is required. If the tree is 20 inches or greater, then it's inch per. It can be up to inch per inch mitigation. So if it's 4 trees, tree for tree replacement is required.
What if it's 3?
What's that?
What if it's 3?
I thought there was a
cutoff of 4 from what Meryl said for the 12 to 20 inch ones.
So the cutoff really has to do with public notice requirements. So if you're removing one, hang on, let me flip to my code real quick so I get this right.
And just while we're waiting, inch for inch and tree for tree, just to clarify what that might mean. So if you remove a tree that's 13 inches, you have to mitigate it by planting a tree. It doesn't have to be a 13-inch tree. It can be a 2-inch tree, as opposed to a 20-inch tree that would require 20 caliper inches of trees replaced, 5 4-inch trees or something like that.
Right. While we're continuing to look it up, I just want to add that, you know, when we started out, it was tree for tree at 12 inches. You know, so we've, in the Planning Commission process and through City Council, we already watered down this down somewhat to mitigate the private property owner interests. You know, I want to say this was one of the first big packages I had a chance to work on Planning Commission. You know, there's a huge Portland Plan connection here. There are so many co-benefits of the tree canopy, from urban heat island effects to water quality to air quality. I mean, the list of co-benefits is miles long, and we just need to get this done. It's important to the future of Portland. It's absolutely core to the Portland Plan values. It's time.
Not to revisit the original question, but is there any studies about the issue of tree planting on private property? Are we losing tree canopy on private property? Is that an ongoing problem in Portland? In my neighborhood, it's the other way. I mean, everyone in my neighborhood is planting trees, so I'm just curious as to whether this is a problem we have data on.
I mean, yes, the in the course of the project, we did develop sort of the trend lines of what's happening, and you know, we believe we need these regulations to keep the trend lines going in the right direction. I'll tell you, I have a conviction that most Portlanders would do the right thing if we told them what the right thing was. But because we haven't funded this, we haven't communicated to Portlanders, you know, what they should be doing. So yeah, I think we're missing a big opportunity. In a lot of settings, people will just do the right thing because they know it works for the community.
Oh, I think Andrew needed to mention he lives on a Christmas tree farm in Helvetia. So so that's a little misleading, I thought, your comment.
As to Andrew's question, though, I mean, I'm interested in that, too. I mean, do we have evidence that we're losing, like, 1% of canopy a year to private property owner removal of trees or something like that?
So the way that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability looked at this is that we are increasing our number of households in the city of Portland. Increasing the number of households is going to increase the number of construction projects. We currently do not have any preservation requirements in place for tree preservation during new development. So the idea is that if we add another line of tree preservation requirements, we will reduce the chance of losing tree canopy to infill development, as we were talking about earlier.
Right, and the goal is not to mitigate loss. The goal is to get from 29% to 33%. So we need new development to provide some of those new trees.
Well, and just without beating a dead horse here, if the council ends up getting cold feet on going all in on enforcing the law as to private property, I would argue let's roll out the education component. That's not coercive. That's designed to get people to understand what the law is and to act accordingly. And let's maybe test drive the education component for a couple of years and then come back to the rest of it. But let's not stall the whole project.
The challenge with that, Commissioner Fish, is what Director Scarlett was talking about. The current laws don't work. So one of the impetuses for doing the tree project in the first place to doing the code update, which we had, I think, a record number of council hearings to noodle through all of the different elements of it, the reason was so that there would be an answer that a person could give. So if we don't implement it, we can certainly do different enforcement, but I think that the code itself is structured to be cohesive and to correct all of the problems between the other codes. So it's a difference of whether you have enforcement or not.
Commissioner, I just wanted to mention, too, even currently, about 50% of trees on private property are regulated. What this code would do would provide equitable regulation across all private properties that would be the same. So if you happen to live on a corner lot, for example, trees would be regulated, but you're in the current situation, but your next door neighbor might not. So that was one of the goals that the tree code restructuring was trying to address. Mika has an answer to your direct question too, Commissioner.
So as I was talking, mitigation changes. Sometimes it's tree for tree replacement, and sometimes it's up to inch per inch. When you reach the 4-tree threshold, it changes to inch per inch mitigation. So you can remove up to 4 trees less than 20 inches, and it'll be a tree for tree replacement.
And I assume when you're doing inch per inch replacement, you're not like transplanting a grown tree. You're planting a tree that will wind up being that large.
It would be multiple trees, and you know it's also going to up to inch per inch mitigation. It's laid out that way because some properties probably wouldn't have enough room to accommodate up to inch per inch mitigation. So really, every situation's a little different.
Wait a minute. So is inch per inch mitigation sort of prospective once the tree grows up, or immediate? You have to have enough little trees to add up to that inchness.
That's right. And sometimes they'll be required to be planted on the property. They could also go into the right-of-way. And if there's no room there, they can look at other options for that planting.
Okay, folks, we're going to get back to the budget proposal here. We've wandered into substance, which maybe is our natural element, but we do need to move back to the budget proposals.
I actually had a budget proposal-related question, okay. Which is that on this sheet that we were just handed, it looks like the ask is for $409,195 in general fund and 5.5 positions. The last information that we had on the website said 6 positions, and I think the amount was $530,389. So this is the latest number. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, okay, well,
and we have been working on paring it down and paring it down and paring it down. And I, as Commissioner Fish said, I think we've reached the point where we either do it or don't do it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
My final special appropriations request is LifeWorks Now. And this, in some ways, is a partnership that goes up with the ones that the Mayor Hales has proposed under the agreement with the county. It turned out that there was an assumption that there was $200,000 for LifeWorks Now in the police budget, and that there isn't a $200,000 allocation for the LifeWorks Now in the police budget. So it's here as a special request, and they're going to tell us what they do and why.
Okay. Mayor Hales, City Commissioners, thank you, first of all, for your ongoing past support of this program for women who are exiting the sex industry. We're here today to respectfully request your continued support that will allow this vital work to continue. I'm Mary. I forgot to introduce myself. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I just wanted to jump in. Mary Monnet, I'm the President CEO at LifeWorks Northwest. So in 2008, when prostitution was running rampant on Northeast 82nd, and the neighbors were in great distress about the safety of their neighborhood, LifeWorks Northwest responded to the request of the city to develop an effective intervention program for this highly exploited, vulnerable population. We had had a clinical specialty in this area, and we were very encouraged about the coordinated response the city was taking to this issue. Working together with key law enforcement partners, as well as the neighbors and our other service partners, we knew that we could make a difference, and we are. We've seen a 33% reduction in prostitution-related police calls since we started the program, but there's still much work to do. The intensive treatment and case management services that LifeWorks Northwest provides through the New Options Program is literally the glue that helps really pull this coordination effort together. I'm going to turn this over now to Kristen, who can speak more directly to some of the services we offer.
Thank you, Mary. Mayor, City Commissioners, thank you for having us here today. Pull this a little closer. So for the City of Portland, the NOW program is vital, as it has reduced prostitution-related phone calls. This equates to less city money being spent on police time and resources related to prostitution and prostitution-related crimes. If NOW funding is cut, adult women that have been involved in prostitution will not have a place to recover and change. NOW is the only program in the state that offers wraparound mental health and addiction services for adults, adult women exiting prostitution, and the complex needs that they have due to this, their issues. Our officers report they do not see women out on the street once they are engaged with NOW. Research shows that prostitution is rarely talked about in traditional counseling settings. So if the NOW program is cut, these women will not have a treatment provider who understands their specific needs, leading to continued addiction, crime, and recidivism that we've worked so hard to reduce. Without NOW, the only intervention will go back to being police contact and arrest. One example of the NOW program, a woman in our program has had 43 police contacts in the last 3 years, and our officers report to us that since involved with the NOW program, she's had zero, and she's finally receiving the addiction treatment that she needs. I spent many hours with her listening to her story of trauma, abuse, neglect, being left in the street dead after being chopped up by a violent purchaser of sex with a machete. These are typical stories we hear of the women in our program, and it's vital that we continue to care for them. NOW is also the facilitator for the John School. Last year, 122 buyers of sex attended the school at a cost of $1,000 per person at the class. Without NOW, this class goes away, crippling impact to reduce the demand. Without NOW, the city will see an increase in untreated addiction and trauma. Rearrest rates, cases of domestic violence, and sexual assault will increase. The population will be left without help that saves the city money for police and emergency services, as well as the amazing CSEC efforts and collaborative that we have in our city. When those youth turn 18, there is literally no services for this population. Portland has done an amazing job at developing a collaborative effort to address prostitution that is recognized nationally to provide women with resources necessary to change their lives, not just get them off the street, not just to get them away from where 82nd or the police, but change their lives so they don't go back to that cycle. Other cities envy the collaborative efforts between NOW, the courts, DA, and local and federal law enforcement. If the NOW program goes away, the progress we've all worked so hard for will be lost, as well as the prostituted women and vulnerable children who age out of youth services. Please help ensure that doesn't happen, and thank you so much for your continued and ongoing support. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just add that previously the $200,000 has been broken up into $100,000 of general fund plus $100,000 from a grant that the Police Bureau has been able to get, a federal grant. So I'm not sure whether that's something that could be ongoing, and obviously it was something we would need to look into. Hopefully we can get some assistance on this, but we need to make sure that this program is funded.
Does NOW get referrals from the Police Bureau? Is that the primary vector through which participants enter the program?
Yes. So the NOW program is part of the Prostitution Coordination Team, which is a team of officers at East Precinct, district attorney, the NOW program, and a sexual assault resource center advocate. So primarily and historically, this program started where women were arrested on 82nd and then court mandated into the NOW program for treatment. So it's part of their probation. And if they didn't come, they were just put in jail and rearrested over and over again.
Okay, now I think Commissioner Novick.